Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. David Williams joining us now, president of Taxpayers Protection Alliance, or TPA. David, welcome back. How are you today?
Thanks for having me. And 2021 is going to be a busy year trying to protect taxpayers, that's for sure.
Yeah. I guess first off, first question I think a lot of us have, I know I do, what are your thoughts on the Trump tax cuts we currently have? Do the Democrats go after that and screw that up? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm really concerned about that because, you know, when the tax cuts were passed in 2017, it really was a shot in the arm to the economy.
It was,
I
yes.
mean, we saw these bonuses and, you know, probably more importantly, as we saw business come back to this country when the corporate tax rate was lowered to 21%. It was at 40%,
right,
and they lowered it to 21%. And I don't think people understand the economic impact that had on this country is because business came back, and they were hiring people, and it was just a wonderful thing to see. And we were, you know, once again competitive with the rest of the world with our tax code, and that is critical because there is tax competition going on around the world, and we were losing big time. But when they cut the corporate tax rate, it was, again, just a great thing for the economy.
And, one of the things that I think, at least I hope that the Biden presidency is looking at is, you know, they've got an election that they will have to continue to work and run, and even if they're going to retain power in 2022, they're going to, in my opinion, they're going to have to be very careful with some of the things they do. I know there's folks out there that will disagree with me on that one, David, but you know, these aren't unintelligent individuals, and they like winning. I for one think that they're going to look at this a little more closely than maybe what the hardcore left that wants them to just abolish all these things. I don't think they're that stupid.
Well, I hope they're not. But here's my concern, is that Democrats look at things, you know, as if people don't change their behavior, you know, whether it's raising the minimum wage, whether it's raising taxes. They think that, oh, when you raise taxes, people do the same thing. Businesses do the same thing. They do not. People change their behavior. And my biggest concern is Democrats don't recognize that. So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, even with a 50-50 split in the Senate, that you have people in the Senate that will hopefully stop any sort of tax increase.
And yeah, again, David, I don't know. You're right. They do look at things differently than you and I do. They don't think people's behavior changes when it comes to these things. And but by and large, we know that, especially, you know, those of us that are business owners, yeah, we change our behaviors accordingly. The other thing I don't think they understand on that side of the fence, and I will vehemently say this constantly, is they don't understand that businesses don't pay taxes. We pass them along to our customers. So ultimately, the customers pay the taxes. And yet, what you said earlier is true. If it gets too high, companies just pull out and go someplace else so they can make more profits.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, there's this perception when you talk about business and corporations, you think about, you know, these huge businesses. But what about small businesses? Those are the ones that make up this country. We're talking about 33 million small businesses, and, you know, they range in size from 2 people to 20 or 50. So, you know, this is who's going to be hurt by a tax increase. And, you know, Joe Biden says, well, he's not going to raise taxes on anyone that's making less than $400,000. Well, if you're a small business, this actually includes you. So what do you do if it's November and you've made $350,000? I mean, are you going to scale back your operations because you don't want to get to the new tax level? I mean, this really is, you know, $400,000 is an arbitrary number. And whenever the Democrats come up with a tax increase, the number is always arbitrary as to what level of income they're going to
be. I appreciate you saying that. And I mainly think that's because, David, they don't really have any kind of concept in, you know, they think that somebody making $400,000 just making a ton of money. But depending upon where that person is, where they live, what kind of, you know, what kind of business even they have and so on, and what they're even trying to do expansion-wise in that business, et cetera, $400,000 isn't a lot of money. They just pick these numbers out of the sky.
They pick these numbers out of the sky, and they don't appreciate the economic effect that it has on small businesses. Because what I like to see is when a small business becomes bigger.
Right.
When they go from
two employees
to 4 to 5
That's right.
employees. That's what we want to see. And we saw that in 2018 because I spoke to a lot of small businesses and they said, this is amazing. You cut taxes, I can hire more people now. So that means more income. And so, you know, it was just amazing to see, you know, what happened in 2018, you know, when they took a full effect.
No, I firmly agree with that. Okay. In other things we need to be watching for, because, that, you know, let's face it, that's probably one of the bigger ones. What are some of the other things that you see we need to be paying attention to make sure that, you know, I know that in a lot of cases there's not a lot that we as an average American can do to stop some of this, but I think the more aware of it we are and the more pressure we place, does it have an effect? Well, I hope it does.
Yeah, and this is spending. I mean, we have to get spending under control in this country. We had a deficit last year, you know, the year ending September 30th, of $3.3 trillion. We have pieces of legislation that start at $1 trillion. I remember the good old days, and I'm, you know, being a little sarcastic, the good old days where legislation started at billions of dollars.
Right, not trillions.
Now we're at trillions now, and we had relief money last year go out to people like Kanye West, Robert De Niro, members of Congress. And when the relief checks were sent out last year, the IRS sent checks to dead people. And here is the reason why. And I'm not making this up. The IRS said, we are sending checks to dead people because no one told us we couldn't. Hmm. So there was no critical thinking inside the IRS to say,
And to your point, you know, I'm looking at the national debt clock as we speak. We're almost at $28 trillion as a country, and you know it's going to continue to climb. And before you know it, that'll be over $30 trillion. And those numbers become so, you know, so large that, I mean, I know Wall Street loves them. I don't really get why, because eventually we have to pay that back, and Wall Street only looks at today, not at tomorrow. And but at some point, we've got to pay that back, and that's going to be a hard row to hoe.
It is, and what we're doing is we're borrowing money from China to pay for the debt. And I think, you know, we need to talk about that more, is that connection, is that, you know, we're going to be paying China back with interest on the debt. And, you know, if we really want to take a strong stand against China, let's stop building up our debt. Let's start, you know, let's balance the budget. Let's, you know, start to cut spending. And there's just ridiculous spending. Senator Rand Paul pointed this out late last year, you know, $1.5 million to study lizards on a treadmill. And, I mean, quite honestly, I would love to watch that on YouTube, but I don't want taxpayers paying for that.
And no.
We have to start somewhere, because if we can't get that lizard off the treadmill, we are not going to be able to address entitlement spending and the real driver of the deficit and the debt,
right,
and that's the entitlements.
All right, how do folks find out more about what's going on at TPA, David?
We're at protectingtaxpayers.org, and I just encourage people to, you know, be aware, to educate themselves as to what's happening in Washington.
All right. David, as always, we appreciate it. We'll have you back, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is David Williams, again, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, or TPA. Geno's Auto Service is up next. Geno's with a J. And don't forget, they're at genosautoservice.com. But anything you need for your vehicle, literally anything for your vehicle, they're there for you. Full warranty, 3 years, 36,000 miles, you name it, they'll take care of it. 303-794-6700 or genosautoservice.com.
Start the new year right by taking advantage of Geno's Napa Legend and AAA Premium Battery Sale. Did you know car batteries typically last just 3 to 5 years? There is no reason to get stuck with a bad battery when you can stop in at Geno's for a free battery check. And while you're there, you can take advantage of Geno's free multi-point inspection. We'll evaluate your vehicle, looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Geno's is also having a sale on genuine Napa starters and alternators. We are big believers in catching problems before they start, which is why we do our best to make your life easier by offering loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Don't miss a beat this year. Geno's is continuing to service Larry's Automotive customers through Napa Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done before Larry's closed. Give us a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bulls and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit us online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Purify Chevrolet, anything you need when it comes to buying a new or used car. Don't forget my Corvette C8 is out there. If you want to see what one of those looks like, feel free to drop by. It's in the showroom and say hi while you're there. But if you need to buy something, they'll take care of you, new or used. It's purifychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses. So we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We can do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Loveton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Bill and Boulder back. Bill, thanks for calling back. I do appreciate it very much. And for those of you that maybe missed our conversation a little earlier with Bill, top of the 4 o'clock hour, literally talking about, you know, where do we go from here? Not only as a country, Bill, but, you know, individually. And I thought that was a great conversation. We should continue. So thanks for calling back.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. And real quick, that bumper music reminds me I still need to go out to Purifoy and do some hot laps in the new CA.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so, head on out. It's out there. Go for it. Good stuff.
Sorry.
No, really, you know, and, you know, I, by the way, that's just.
I love that
song,
by the way.
You know, yeah. And, you know, side note, you know, is everything going to crumble tomorrow? And I think that's the one thing we all need to remember is, no, of course not. But, you know, is there going to be is there going to be and has there been a continual erosion of things, you know, in our country? And, yeah, Bill, the question or, you know, the answer to that question is, of course, there has been. And, you know, there's probably been an erosion going on since the document was signed, if you really want to get down to it. And, you know,
true.
To Steve House's point earlier,
good point.
You know, they only last for, you know, countries like this only last for a certain amount of time, or, you know, are we getting close to that end? You know, unless we can somehow reverse the tide, I think the answer is yes. And that's what we were talking about in the last hour is how do we reverse that tide?
Well, so over the break, I was thinking about a few thoughts, and one of the phrases that came into my mind was kind of a grassroots approach to engaging people and about and around politics. It seems like some of the leadership on the Republican side of the House is maybe just say less than desirable. And, you know, there's exceptions to that rule. We got a few people out there that I think really want to do the right thing. I think some of them are just there because it's a good job to have. But, you know, there have been a lot of, for instance, there were a lot of women that were nominated to Republican Senate and House positions this year. You know, is her name Lauren over in Rifle?
Lauren Boebert, yes.
You know, I'm talking, yeah. You know, so I'm kind of encouraged when we see people like that because really I think that's what it is. It's people looking around saying, hey, stuff is sliding, stuff is falling apart. I want to do something about that. And I think that's really what the answer is.
Yeah, and I agree.
You have to engage people on that personal level.
And I think the other positive thing, and I'm glad you just said it too, Bill, is that, you know, we need to continually remind ourselves that, we lost a couple of seats in Georgia. There's lots of different things we could get into as to why. I'm not going to go into that right now.
Yeah.
But on the House side, you know, we gained some seats on the House side, and it's very possible that we'll get, you know, depending upon what happens in the next couple of years, we could easily gain some seats you know, heading into the 2022 election, and as typically history has it, and time will tell over the next couple of years, but typically speaking, you know, we as the party will gain seats and potentially even gain back the Senate in 2022. And if that happens, well, then the second half of the Biden presidency, you know, is liable to not do much of anything. Now, I say all of that, and that's typically historically what happens. Will it? Not unless we get out there and we get hustling and we make things happen and we run the right candidates. And yet you look at the folks from Winning for Women, Bill, which is who got a lot of these ladies elected that you just mentioned a moment ago. If we get some organizations out there like that and we actually put strategic people in places where we know we can win strategically in those races in parts of the country, we stand a much better chance of winning than what we've done in the past. And the reality, Bill, is we as Republicans and conservatives have got to be smarter in how we do this. And, you know, I'm not trying to beat up Trump by any means, but, you know, you got to ask yourself, these last 6 to 12 months in the Trump administration, did we do things as smart as we possibly could? And I don't know, Bill. I've got to ask myself that question. And if somebody really point blank asked me, I'd have to say, no, we didn't do it as smart as we could have.
No, I was pulling my hair out at many points throughout 2020. Response to COVID, response to a lot of different issues, the civil unrest that we saw. There were so many gaffes that they did, and it was almost childish in a sense. And I was sitting there thinking, how could, you know, you're the president and the executive administration, how could you have so many oversights on such critical issues again and again and again?
And by the way, I said some of that yesterday and got criticized greatly from, you know, listeners. So I appreciate you saying that, Bill, because I sometimes feel like I'm the Lone Ranger with some of this. But, you know, you got to call it like it is. And it's like a coach after a ball game that gets lost. And, you know, maybe the referee did make a bad call and that's why you lost the game. But you can't blame it on the referee. You've got to look at how did we play the game and why did we get in that position in the first place? And what would we have, you know, what could we have done differently to avoid being in that position? And I guess that's what I'm doing right now, is looking back at that, saying, how do we avoid that in the future and not be in that position in the first place? And I made a list of a few things here, Bill, that I think we made huge mistakes on. One of them is, I think we took too much for granted. I think Trump and his administration and even his campaign took too much for granted, felt like they had too much of a win that maybe wasn't there in the first place. We didn't watch election law changes like we should have. We were not on top of things that did happen, much to what you said a moment ago, like we should have been. He had a terrible, terrible first debate. And frankly, he spouted off far too much and shouldn't have.
Absolutely. 100% on all of those points. And he even admitted that a couple times. I was watching like just about every single rally that he made during the home stretch there. He's like, boy, if I lose this one, you know, you guys are really going to owe it to me. They're like, he thought he had it in the bag. And, you know, if you looked at the numbers at those rallies, it kind of was hard to refute that. But nothing's certain, you know, especially in politics. And it seems like he just really kind of slacked off there at the end. And, you know, his campaign manager, whoever that was, I mean, it was, you see that all the time.
Yeah, I really, you know what, you just brought something up I hadn't mentioned or mentioned either, and that was, you know, Charlie, his last campaign manager who kind of jumped off the last year. What was her last name?
Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Conway. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. I was asking Charlie too. But yeah, you know, her, just my own opinion, Bill, her jumping off and not really having the influence in that last, you know, year to 18 months, I think you can look back now and say that was huge. That, in fact, that might have been the game changer right there.
Well, wasn't there some swampy type of stuff going on there with her husband anyhow?
Her husband's a huge lib, so he's a huge, you know, Democrat supporter, and supposedly there was issues, and there were. I don't say supposedly. There were issues with the kids. One of the kids was kind of going off the deep end, and she felt like she needed to, you know, take care of it, which, by the way, I've got to give her credit for doing so, but I do think that hurt things in the campaign when she did that.
And kind of coming back to just like we were talking about a second ago, too, with, you know, a lot of the women Republicans that we saw pick up, and just, you know, we picked up, the House picked up, what, 21 of 22 contested seats went to Republicans. I want to say, and then coming back, kind of tying us back into that theme of kind of the grassroots approach to, you know, us governing ourselves and holding our government accountable, I would say that maybe some of those wins in the 2020 election were kind of like a referendum on accountability and kind of trying to really right the Republican Party and right the ship, so to speak, and set it back on a course where we think it should be, and less away from kind of a career politician to more of like
you know,
Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of an approach. And, you know, sending these people that are business owners and people have never had a career in politics before, send them to Washington to represent their constituents, which is what we should be doing. And, and in that sense, I get, you know, I do get a sense of kind of inspiration and maybe just some hope for the future.
No, that's a silver lining. I'm glad you brought that up, Bill, because I think, you know, right now there's a lot of folks that are, you know, down and we lost, and with whatever happened yesterday, or with what happened yesterday, I should say, that was another downer. So, yeah, there is some silver lining there, and I think we need to be, you know, continually reminded of that. And, you know, it is all hope lost for the country. I think there's some Republicans and conservatives that think that. I'm not one of those, by the way. I don't think the country is completely lost. I do think there's a way to right the ship. I think it's going to take a lot of effort on our part to do so. But frankly, Bill, it's always been that way. And I guess maybe I've been around, you know, long enough, and I've watched the ebb and flow of things, and even here in Colorado, and I've watched what's happened here. And, you know, have I lost complete hope for the country? No, I haven't. And yet, you know, go back to the question that we asked that last hour that, you know, that the colonel was asking, and that is, you know, what are you really living for? What are we doing here? What is our purpose? You know, what is each one of us doing in life to make things, you know, either better for ourselves or better for our fellow neighbor or for our families? And I think we can't lose sight of that either.
No, absolutely not. You know, that reminds me of a colonel, that retired colonel I knew when I was in high school, and he was a mentor of mine, and one of his mantras was always leave something better than when you found it. And,
right.
You know, even if that could be as simple as what you're doing here, you know, leave this place better than when you found it.
And you know, and that's,
that sounds counterintuitive sometimes.
Well, know, and but, I think yesterday, no offense, Bill, but that didn't happen yesterday. You know, those protesters, you know, that were there somehow didn't get the message that the colonel gave you as a mentor, because they didn't leave it in a better place than they came.
But, you know, I guess the silver lining in that episode, too, was the AP reporter. I mean, this really hit me, too, when he said that junior congressman was in the rotunda picking up the trash.
Right.
And I don't think that he was there picking up the trash because he was the low man on the totem pole. I think he was there because he was saddened by what had happened to that institution, and he still cares. And that's a glimmer of hope.
You know, the other thing I like, by the way, just to give kudos to the AP photographer that we did have on, and you can see a lot of his work. He's out there with the AP on a constant basis, Andrew Harnick. And, you know, the one thing, Bill, I appreciate about Andrew is he didn't bring politics into it. He gave us just really kind of a moment-by-moment account of what went on. Yeah. He didn't call any of the protesters thugs. You know, he didn't sling mud at anybody or at any particular party. And, you know, I'm going to give him credit where credit's due. I thought he did a really good job of just giving us a really straight, unbiased view of what happened on the ground there yesterday.
It's pretty rare to have, you know, that kind of agnostic approach to these types of things in these, you know, these kind of heated times anymore. So yeah, that is welcome. I mean, because we do need the media to be just an arbiter of the facts and not spinning the truth in their own agenda.
Agreed.
I mean, we need that now more than ever.
And I think, you know, one other thing I want to add to what you just said is I think we've got to also look as conservatives, and it's what I tried to do yesterday, but I think I failed because all I got was really a lot of mudslinging back at me because of the way I was stating it. Maybe I didn't state it correctly, or I was too angry in the way I said it, but I was angry yesterday with what was going on. And I think as conservatives, we really do need to look in the mirror and say, Bill, John, what did we do wrong, and how can we do this better moving forward? Because if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to have the same results.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because when that happened, one of the first things I thought of was, there was a big pro-Second Amendment rally, I think, a year or two ago in Richmond, Virginia. And when it was over, they actually stayed behind and picked up all of the trash.
Correct, correct.
So we went from that to, you know, smashing out the windows.
Yeah, and I get that yesterday there was a lot of Antifa, BLM, et cetera, and they were all there. But you know what? Again, Bill, that's where we as conservatives have got to be smarter, and there should have been folks there that could recognize some of what was going on there and could have been even sort of that stopgap and say, hey, if Antifa and BLM wants to go in, great. We're going to make sure all the reporters here know that that is not us. That is not, you know, Trump supporters that are running around. The problem was, Bill, there's even videos of actual Trump supporters being inside, and then after they were inside, wondering, why am I here? Well, I got to ask you the same question. Why were you there?
Well, and it goes back to the point that you've made time and again on your show, John. And it comes down to social media. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in all of these false truths that come out there and the deep fakes. Don't believe anything that you see on social media.
That's
I think do your own research.
You have to.
And when you do your own research, make sure that the sources are credible.
You have to.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, we need Encyclopedia Britannicas again, you know, where we can actually go crack a book open and
agree.
Say, this is truth. You know, so.
Bill, always good. I love talking to you. Thanks for calling
man.
In. Breath of fresh air. I do appreciate its encouragement to me, and I appreciate it very much, sir. Thank you.
Likewise, John.
All right, Jim, you'll be up in a minute. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Extreme Auto Repair is up next. Don't forget to ask about their great coupon deals they've got going on right now where you can prepay for services and save a ton of money in doing so. And don't forget 20-plus service bays to take care of you. And you don't have to go back to the dealer to get your work done. It's Extreme Auto Repair, klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong. Extreme Auto Repair will honor your service contract. Unlike most independent shops, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership's service contract. Promises kept.
Hey, folks, make sure that your finances are in order as we head through 2021 and beyond. In fact, that's something that you really need some help with. That's where Al Smith comes in. He's a financial advisor. Call him today at 303-744-1128 or find him online at klzradio.com.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a two-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Lines are open, by the way, 303-477-5600. Jim, you're next. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, John, how was your Christmas?
Hey, it was very good, actually. Jim, thanks for asking. I appreciate that.
Yeah, not a problem, man. Hey, I got a question. What, you know, I think our government's really scared of us. And I'm gonna tell you, I kind of made an observation that nobody seems to be talking about our government being frightened of us. How come our government and the Capitol there? How come they got all these secret passageways and secret doorways and secret places to hide out? What is it that they're so frightened of for so long that they've created all these secret passageways and all these secret doorways to try to get away from something?
That one I can't answer other than common sense would probably tell me it's more for you know, protection of the officials we have there from, you know, terrorist activity and things along those lines. Keep in mind, you've got, you know, it's in some cases the entire, you know, power of the country can be in one place. In fact, they always have a designated survivor outside of that area just in case of a complete, you know, attack from an outside enemy. I believe, Jim, it's that more than it is anything else.
Yeah, but I mean, terrorist, well, like, what kind of terrorist? I mean, American terrorist? I mean, is that what they really,
I think they would say terrorist, foreign and domestic, both.
Well, I mean, foreign, I mean, we know bloody well, if it was going to be foreign, they're not going to mess with trying to get in that thing by foot. They're going to just flat out, they're going to flatten that place.
I'm not a part of the intelligence, you know, community, Jim, to answer that. I would guess that they probably have got threats from all different sources at all different times as part of what the Secret Service and, you know, SCIA and FBI are working on a continual basis. I am assuming, again, I don't know. I can only tell you what I've seen in movies and other things. But, you know, I also know when it comes to, you know, things like 9/11, where they literally were trying to crash planes into the White House and the Capitol, and they did hit the Pentagon. I don't think they're wrong in having those passageways, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I'm not saying that, John. I just think that they're really, you know, for government, I think our government has stepped on so many toes, domestic and foreign. I think they've stepped on so many toes. I think they're really frightened of all the people that they've wronged in their in this country.
Well, you know, there's no doubt, you know, Jim, that we as a country have, you know, let's face it, we are always under attack by, you know, foreign countries when it comes to the things that you're talking about. So, I think you're very right in saying what you just said.
Well, and I've been listening to radio all day, different channels and whatnot, and I've been listening to those. You know, the Democrats are drunk. I mean, literally drunk with power.
Yes, they are.
And listening to those, I don't know what you even call them, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the rest of them. I mean, literally, they want to round up Republicans right along with Donald Trump, and they want to basically, it sounds to me like they want to hold kangaroo courts and do away with them. And if that happens, what do you think is going to happen in this country?
Well, and, you know, keep in mind, they can spout a lot of things off, but when they go through procedurally and you know, when the you know, courts, et cetera, get involved, you know, who knows exactly what happens. They can spout a lot of things off. I guess time will tell. They are drunk on power. I will go with you there. What they do with that power, I don't know at this point. I don't have an answer for that.
But the thing is, John, you know, you're assuming, like a lot of other people, that once they get complete control of this country, you assume, like a lot of other people, that they're going to, and they've already showed their hands, that they're going to play very, very ruthlessly and very nasty.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah, no, I'm not blind to that. Of course they are, Jim. And I think that's where, you know, keep in mind, the one thing we have to remember, too, and this is something that, you know, hasn't been, I don't know what other, you know, talk show hosts and other people are talking about, but keep in mind, the Senate is split, so they control the House. The Senate, they say they control the Senate, but the Senate's split. You know, Kamala makes the deciding vote, and I get the fact that, you know, she's very, you know, hardcore left and will probably make a lot of decisions that go that direction. But keep in mind, there's some senators out there, Jim, that are very much on probably the fence, if you would. Yeah, they're in a they're in a blue seat, but inside of a red state, and they know that their actual future election is on the line as well. And I wouldn't be surprised in certain things that come up if some, you know, Democrat senators don't jump on the other side. I know maybe I'm wishful thinking in that, but I don't think I'm completely wrong when I say that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's going to be no more elections. I think they got the power, and I think we're having a repeat of the 20th century at the very beginning of the last 20th century when the socialists were taking over Europe, which included, Russia and they were trying to take over Germany at the time when the Nazis, the National Socialists, were fighting them back. And I basically, I, I see something that's basically repeating or rhyming itself from 100 years ago right now.
Well, I hope you're wrong.
I really do too, John. I'm in my 60s now. I'm really close to retirement, and I haven't worked my whole life to sit there and have all of a sudden to see this nation. Because I'm a little older than you, and I grew up, you know, when we had so many freedoms in this country that
right.
I've seen gradually being eroded. And I really don't. I don't want to see my grandchildren have to face the future or something like that either. But
I don't either.
I'm frightened, John.
Well, Jim, I keep the faith. We'll see what happens. I'm not that frightened yet. We'll see how it goes. I appreciate the phone call. I do have hope left for the country. Brad and Lakewood, hang tight. We'll take a break. I want to give you plenty of time. We'll come right back and talk to you, so hang tight. Flesh and Beck is next. Kevin Flesh will help you with anything you've got going on, legally speaking, and he's not afraid to go to bat for you. 303-806-8886. It's fleshlawfirm.com.
You go to the grocery store to buy ice cream and end up with a dislocated shoulder. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has one goal: to make sure you get the medical care you need without worrying about the cost. Your first reaction when you slip and fall tends to be embarrassment and avoidance. You hustle up to get off the floor, tell everyone you're fine, and go home in a hurry. Then, once the adrenaline wears off, you start to realize that you're not fine after all. You end up in the emergency room needing rotator cuff surgery. Suddenly, you're facing upwards of $50,000 in hospital bills, all because of a shopping trip. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, will prove the place of business created a dangerous condition, holding them accountable for your medical expenses so you can focus only on getting the treatment you need. Call today for a free, no-obligation consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
All right, see clearly. Novus Auto Glass wants to make sure you can see out of your windshield and headlights as well. They're nice and bright. They've got a way to actually change those if they're discolored and yellowed out. Just go to rushtoreason.com/Novus, N-O-V-U-S. And don't forget, they can fix a crack up to a foot long, and they work with all insurance companies. rushtoreason.com/Novus.
Novus means innovate. As the original inventors of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass continues to stay on the cutting edge of glass repair and replacement. Any vehicle with lane departure technology needs to be recalibrated after a windshield replacement because of the cameras and sensors mounted to your windshield. All of those sensors need to be carefully realigned so your vehicle provides accurate positioning information. And each vehicle manufacturer is different. Most Auto Glass facilities, even the big names, do not have the right tools and equipment to calibrate your windshield. They can only replace the glass, not recalibrate the sensors. Because Novus Auto Glass constantly upgrades to keep pace with the changing industry, the majority of their locations now offer calibrations. Get your windshield replaced and the sensors recalibrated with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass at rushtoreason.com/Novus, N-O-V-U-S.
All right, Franktown Firearms, we'll get an update tomorrow on how much inventory they actually have, but from what I understand, it's pretty good. Background checks are not that long, so if you're going to buy a weapon, now is the time. KLZradio.com or 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms, and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with the full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Brad in Lakewood, you're next. What's going on, Brad?
Yeah, thank you for taking my phone call. Yes, I'm in a group called Integrity, Federal Integrity Project Election Results, and they have meetings every Saturday at the Capitol. And the one thing I like about this group is they send out emails, and they actually want to stay involved, and they're trying to get people involved on the local level and have us to stay involved and not give up. But personally, I think if they remove the filibuster rule and they pack the court, within 10 years, this country will be so blue that Mike Lee won't be able to be elected in Utah. So I think that it would be all over for the country if that being the case. However, I do agree with you. There are some senators that may be on our side.
Yes.
One might be Joe Manchin because he has said that he is opposed to removing the filibuster or packing the court. So,
right. And all we need is him. We only need one, Brad, and we're there.
And I would have contacted him. Now, what exactly did Pence do yesterday? Supposedly, some people are pretty upset with him because they just wanted Pence to send it back to the states for 10 days so they could check some of these.
Yeah, and from what I understand, Pence read the Constitution himself, read the law, and basically said, I don't have the, you know, despite what everybody else thinks, I don't have the power to do so, so I'm going to move forward with what I know I need to do. That's what he said. That was his statement.
And I was.
And by the way, I don't know. I'm not an expert in that at all.
Yeah, personally, I think he should have just sent it back to the states for 10 days to just review it because a lot of people are going by perception. Even if there wasn't a stolen election, a lot of people perceive it as one, and they're going to take it out on the Republican Party. And they think when a RNC official went down to Georgia, he said he had never seen so much hatred directed at the Republican Party because people were so upset with Duncan, Kemp, and Raffensperger, and they think a lot of people were going to set out the election, and Loeffner and Perdue would lose for that reason.
And they did.
And personally, I think Perdue and Loeffner ran poor campaigns.
They were bad candidates, too, I think, on top of that, Brad. That's just my own opinion.
Yeah, they wouldn't even return phone calls. You'd call their Perdue's office, they wouldn't even return the phone call. Now, how bad does somebody want to win?
Right. Agree. Brad, you're doing the same thing I did yesterday. I got criticized from other listeners on and pointing out faults of what we did as a party. But, Brad, if we don't do that and look at how we change things moving forward, we're not going to win anymore.
Well, what's the chance of getting Ken Buck's not going to run for chairman again. What's the chance of getting Susan Beckman or Neil Mathai as leaders of the party?
Great question. And again, that's a deeper subject we'll have to cover probably at a later date, Brad. I don't know. I think that's a great question. I guess we'll find out here in a month or two.
Well, because I know Anil, not real good, but Anil would be a great guy.
Yeah, know him very well.
And Susan Beckman would be.
Yeah, she would be too. Know her as well. They both would be.
So the main thing is I don't think people can give up. They just got to.
That's right. Don't give up. Thank you, Brad. Sorry. No, Brad, thanks. I'm gonna move along, and you're right. Do not give up, folks. We've got hope. It's not over yet, so don't give up hope. Dan and Blackhawk, you're next.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, sir.
Good. Hey, I think the Republican Party needs to take an example from John Elway and what he did. We've been losing, and we got people that are staying in power, and they need to step aside.
Yep.
We need to get new blood in there.
Agree.
To help. I mean, it seems like... you know, the Democrats are great at marketing to the younger generation. And I know there's conservatives in the younger generation. I got at least two in my house.
Yes.
That are strong Republicans, but they're younger. And we're doing nothing to appeal to the younger generation. And even if they're, you know, liberal slanting, I think they're more willing to listen to reason and they don't put up with people that are not honest, more so than we are.
Right.
I mean, that's one of their traits. And why aren't we playing on that? Why aren't we figuring out a way to, I don't want to say market to them, but why aren't we disclosing all these issues that are occurring with the Democrat Party that seem to be swept under the carpet with the social media and the main media?
No, Brad brought some great points. So are you, Dan. How do you get some that are in power in politics to step down like John Elway? That is a great, great question. But I think if you're going to save the Republic, I think some of these guys are going to have to really take a close look at that and do so, Dan. Well, I think you're spot on.
Why are they in there to begin with? Is it for monetary gain?
Yes.
Is it for their own?
It's power. It's no different than, you know, not throwing John Elway under the bus by any stretch of imagination. But, you know, there's an ego thing and a power thing. And some of these politicians get so big and their whole life revolves around it that it's like asking somebody to retire from a business they've owned for, you know, 30 years that they've really been involved in. It's really, Dan, not a lot different. And these guys get huge, huge power, huge ego, and they don't want to let that go.
It's like Third John says, they're the ones, who is it, Demetrius, three guys, and one of the guys wanted the preeminence, is what John says. And I think we got some leaders in the Republican Party that want that preeminence.
Yes.
And Dan,
that's human nature, by the way. I'm not slinging it because that's really human nature for a lot of individuals is to, you know, keep those positions going because, you know, the ego says so. And, you know, we see that every day. It's not just in politics. You see it with certain leaders in businesses. In fact, you even see businesses get to the point where they start to they're teetering on the brink of default because some business leader there, the owner, the CEO, the CFO, whatever it is, you know, won't step down and let somebody else take control. And, you know, we see that quite often. So that's just a human trait.
Yeah. And I've got ideas. I've got some ideas for some ballot initiatives this year, even though it's a non-critical election year, to try to balance the tide that's been occurring in Colorado. I need to figure out how we need to do that.
Well, I've done some research on just a few things with, for example, the emissions laws in Colorado and license plates and things like that. And what I've learned is, you know, you need a little bit of money. You've got to have either some money and or an attorney to do some pro bono work that's willing to write a lot of the language, because the reality, Dan, is even as smart as you and I are, you're not going to write the right initiative to even get it in front of the correct board to even get that process started. I hate to say it that way, but you really have to have an attorney help.
But we got to figure out, there's got to be attorneys out there that are in the same boat as we are.
I would think so. And I think what we do there is we just start putting that word out and start asking people to join in. But that's the way it would have to work. We'd have to have, you know, a little bit of a fundraising effort to make that happen. And I don't know all the laws. Maybe somebody can help with this, but there's probably a way of doing a PAC or something along those lines, Dan, to raise money and then get behind an initiative and actually not even have to have attorneys that do pro bono work, but, you know, pay attorneys to do it, you know, in a way where it actually works. And I think that's a very feasible thing. So do this, Dan. Send me an email on some of the ideas you've got. We can go back and forth on that and see how we can get some of that stuff going. I'd be in on that.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're not done yet, folks. We got a lot of fight left in us, and we can make things happen. Keep your chin up. We'll move forward. And you know what? Tomorrow's another new day. Ascent Health Center's coming up next. And if you're looking to make resolutions this year for 2021, losing weight, feeling better, whatever it is, keep in mind Dr. Julie has a great deal right now on her weight loss program. It's about 30% off. Give her a call today. Find out exactly how that works. But lose weight now with Dr. Julie. 303-343-8800 or find her at AscentHealthCenters.com.
Dr. Julie Marchial of Ascent Health Center has dedicated her life to helping you feel well because your health impacts every other area of your life. Think about what matters most to you, the goals you want to achieve tomorrow, next year, in the next 10 years. It will be harder to achieve those goals if you don't feel well. You won't be as effective at home or at work unless your body has the energy and vitality it needs. Dr. Julie of Ascent Health Center wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. And she believes that you will be more effective at the things that matter to you when you feel well. That's why it's so important to take care of your health. And that's why Dr. Julie has developed an actionable plan to help you feel well. All you need is a willingness to change. Set up a consultation, tell Dr. Julie you're ready to make a change, and she will handle the rest. Find Ascent Health Center in Denver and Inglewood now at RushToReason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at RushToReason and on Facebook.com/RushToReason.
All right, folks, that does it for today. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Tomorrow, don't forget, movie rental reviews will be movies you need to see at least once a year. So I'll have a little fun with that and kind of take our mind off some of this other stuff we've got going on. We've got other guests as well, so join us tomorrow. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.